2016, my wife Linda and I were sitting in a restaurant in Louisville, Kentucky, with our son Chris. He had taken us up to Louisville to this restaurant, and as we were there, people started gathering along the street. Throngs of people started to gather on both sides of the street. And we wondered what was going on. So we asked, why are all these people gathering? And here that day in Louisville, the funeral procession for Muhammad Ali was taking place. He was from Louisville. And that day, as we were there in that restaurant, thousands of people lined the streets to watch as the hearse drove by with the casket containing the body of Muhammad Ali. At least arguably, the greatest boxer that ever lived. As I thought about what was going on, I thought back to an article that I had read in the Akron Beacon Journal several years before. And the article was entitled, "Champ Still Fighting." And it read like this, quote, "At 55, Muhammad Ali is still called the champ. He may have been slowed by Parkinson's disease, but he still has a powerful punch with the media, and now he has taken on a new opponent, religious bigotry and intolerance. On the media side, When We Were Kings, the award-winning documentary about his 1974 fight with George Foreman in Zaire, opened to critical acclaim in February. Now, Ali and co-author Thomas Hauser are touring the country, promoting his new book, Healing, A Journal of Tolerance and Understanding. On the bigotry side, Ali finds himself sparring with a handful of Christian fundamentalists who have criticized the new book for its view that people of all religions will go to heaven. My mother was a Baptist," he writes in one passage. "She believes that Jesus was the Son of God, and I don't believe that. But even though my mother has a religion different from me, I believe that on Judgment Day, my mother will be in heaven. There are Jewish people who lead good lives. And when they die, I believe they're going to heaven. If you're a good Muslim, if you're a good Christian, if you're a good Jew, it doesn't matter what religion you are. If you're a good person, you will go to heaven and have God's blessings." Well, they called him the champ. They called him the king when we were kings. And Muhammad Ali says, to go to heaven, you've got to be good. Good Jew, good Muslim, good Buddhist, good Christian. If you're just good, you're going to get to heaven. So I want to look at that today. I want to see what the Bible says, okay? Would you take your Bibles and open them up to Matthew chapter 7? Because today we're just going to look at two verses today. Two verses in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. In some Bibles that are called red letter editions, these words are all in red, because these words come from the greatest sermon ever preached by the greatest preacher that ever lived. They are the words of Jesus. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount. And you know, we look at these words, the words found in 13 and 14 are not the words of the champ. They are the words of the Christ. They are not the words of a king. They are the words of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and therefore they trump all other words that anybody could ever speak of how to get to heaven. Jesus tells us right here. Look at these verses. Chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. He says, "Enter through the narrow gate. For the gate is wide, and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it." How do you get to heaven? What does Jesus say? In these verses, I found four contrasting pairs of items. And as we're going to examine them today. And as you examine these four contrasting pairs of items, it becomes very apparent of how to go to heaven. First of all, look with me. There are two gates. There are two gates. A wide gate and a narrow gate. First of all, let's look at this wide gate. This wide gate makes room for almost all people. It accepts everyone and anyone. There's room at this gate for any belief. You can believe in anyone, or you can believe in no one. And you can get in through this gate. You can believe in yourself, and you can get in this gate. You can believe in a personal God, or you can believe in a cosmic force. You can believe in Star Wars theology and get in this gate. Your God is just as good as anybody else's God. Because, folks, listen, this gate is wide. It's a wide gate. It's a wide gate. This is the gate that Muhammad Ali was speaking of when he said, "You can be any religion and you're in." Any religion. You can be Jewish, Muslim, Hindu, Buddhist, Taoist, Shintoist. You could keep on going. Animist, whatever. You get in this gate. Because it's wide. Some people believe this gate is so wide, they'll even teach everybody gets in to heaven through this gate. You know, they're called, what are they called? Universalists. Everybody's going to heaven. Right? That's what some tell us. Rob Bell, in his book, Love Wins, says that God's love trumps everything and everybody goes to heaven. You can get in. The gate's wide. But then there's another gate. It's the narrow gate. See him there? The King James. You have the King James Version. It calls it the straight gate. It's not straight in contrast to crooked. It's not straight in contrast to homosexual. When it says it's the straight gate, it means this gate is a narrow gate. It's narrow. It's a narrow gate. You see, I want you to note though something. There's only one gate that'll get anybody to heaven. Jesus said, enter through the narrow what? Gate. Not gates. Gate. There's only one gate that anyone can go through to get to heaven. And that gate is Jesus Christ and his finished work. That's the gate. You remember Jesus said, I am the gate. I'm the door to the sheep. He who enters by me will be saved. There's only one gate that leads to heaven. Somebody said, how do you know that for sure? How do you know there's only one gate? First of all, Jesus declared it, didn't he? He said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus declared it. The Father disclosed it. You remember in the garden, the night before Jesus went to the cross? Do you remember? Jesus cried out to God. He wept with tears and cried out to God. And he said, Lord, remove this cup from me. What was he talking about? Jesus was going to go to the cross. He was going to hang on the cross and actually become sin. Become a sin offering. And all the wrath of God was going to come down upon him. No wonder he cried out, Lord, remove this cup from me. What was he praying? Is there any other way, Father, that we can do this? Is there any other way that we can somehow save these rebellious people? And you know what God said? No, son. There's no other way. This is the only way we can save people. And what was Jesus' response? Not my will, but thy will be done. You see, if there was another way, then God, the Father, would be sadistic. If there was some other way to get to heaven, and Jesus cried out, is there any other way? If there was another way, then God would have provided that way and said, yeah, you don't have to go to the cross. But he said, son, there's no other way. Jesus declared it. God disclosed it in the garden. Grace demands it. In Galatians 2, 21, listen to what Paul wrote. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, that is, through any human endeavor, through religion, through efforts, through works, then Christ died needlessly. You see, grace demands it. Grace demands there's only one way. Because if we can, if all these other ways lead to the top of the mountain and lead to heaven, then when Christ died on the cross, it was a mistake. He died needlessly if we could do it on our own. Do you see that? Jesus declared it. The Father disclosed it. Grace demanded it. And the Scriptures delineate it. The Scriptures say he's the only way. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. You see, folks, there's only one gate to get us to heaven, and it's a narrow gate. There's a wide gate that everybody can come in. Oh, everybody's accepted. Come on in. But there's a narrow gate. And only a narrow, there's only one way, one gate, one door, and that's Jesus. You know, I can remember telling a class. It was a sociology class that I had been invited to speak at over at Kent State University. And I shared with them, and the professor, as I shared this, his mouth dropped open. He said, "Are you saying that Jesus is the only way to God?" And I said, "No, I'm not saying it. I'm just reporting it. He said it. I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." He said, "That's awful narrow." And I said, "You know what? Truth is always narrow. 2 + 2 = 4. It's not 4.21 or, you know, it's narrow. Truth is narrow. And the narrow gate, Jesus said, enter by the narrow gate." How do you get to heaven? The gate. You got to go through the gate. And that is Jesus and his finished work on the cross. There are two gates. Secondly, there are two roads. Do you see it there? Two roads. Two ways. There is the broad road. The broad road. The wide gate leads to the broad way or the broad road. This is the popular way. It's comfortable way because no one questions anybody else on this road. It's spacious. It's accommodating. No, on this road, you can basically believe what you want to believe. You can do what you want to do. You can have what you want to have. You be what you want to be. You do your own thing, and you can feel good about it. And no one will question you on the broad road. The mantra on this road, you know what the mantra is? Tolerance. Tolerance. You do you. You do you. Be true to yourself. That's what it says. They say on the broad road. You know what the number one characteristic of this road is? It's broad. It's broad. It's broad theologically. You may believe what you want to believe on this road. Everyone is to be tolerant of your belief, not meaning respecting your right to believe what you believe, but actually acknowledging your belief is just as good as anybody else's belief. And not only do I have to say that, but I've got to validate it, and I got to celebrate your belief. Amen. On the broad road. Erwin Lutzer, in his book, Christ Among the Other Gods, states, there has been an ideological mega shift in our country. We are to bow to the God of tolerance, meaning not that everyone has the right to their own opinion, that is true, but meaning that we are to accept everyone's opinion just as valid as any other opinion. This road's broad. Theologically, you can believe whatever. You can make up your own God. And you can believe in your own God, and you're to celebrate my God. It's not only broad theologically, it is broad spiritually and religiously. Again, all the religions are on this road. All the world religions are on this road. And you can be any religion on this road. Or you can be no religion on this road. On this road, you can go to church. Or if you want to, just stay home. You know, folks, I can worship God out on the golf course. So if I'm not here next Sunday. Or, you know what? I feel close to God when I'm in nature. Ah, church. Who needs church? In fact, you know what? I'm not a religious person. I'm a spiritual person. Did you ever have anybody tell you that? That's a number of people. I don't go to church. I'm not a religious person. I'm a spiritual person. See, that's accepted on the broad road. You can be whatever you want to be. I'm spiritual. I'll never forget. Usually, I'm pretty good at meeting somebody and kind of discerning where they are. I've met people, never met them before in my life, never had any contact with them, and I could sense that they were Christians. Have you ever done that? I've walked up to people and I said, you know, you're a Christian, aren't you? And they, yeah, how do you know? I don't know if it's the spirit or whatever, but I really blew it one time. I was up at Starbucks, and there was a lady there, and just something, I just felt there was something there. And I looked at her, and I said, can I ask you a question? She said, sure you can. And I said, are you a born-again Christian? And I'll tell you, her countenance just changed. And it was almost, I don't know, evil. And she said, I am not a born-again Christian, but I'm a spiritual person. I don't know what that meant. I didn't go any further. But you see, that's on the broad road. I do my own thing. I'm spiritual. I have my own way of worshiping God. And you know what? The broad road is not only theologically and spiritually and religiously broad, it is morally and ethically broad. Ooh. Morally and ethically broad. You see, the narrow gate leads to the narrow road, but the broad gate is morally and ethically. The fact on the broad road, you know what? There's no absolutes. Oh, beg your pardon. There's one absolute. They're absolutely sure that there are no absolutes. By the way, if anybody ever tells you, there's no absolute truth, just say this, are you sure? Because if they say yes, then that's an absolute truth. If they say no, ha-ha, let's go. But there's no absolute truth on the broad road. You see, you can practice traditional marriage or gay marriage. On the broad road, you can be heterosexual, homosexual, gay, lesbian. You can be bisexual. You can be non-binary. You can be pansexual. You can be polysexual. You can be a transgender. You can be a girl one day on this road, and you can be a boy the next day. It's all on the broad road. You can get married on the broad road and have a wife, or you can just choose to live with your significant other. What's a piece of paper? Some other phrases you might hear on the broad road. If it feels good, do it. If it works for you, live and let live. To each its own. You do you. Be true to yourself. You know what? You can be an adulterer or a fornicator on the broad road. But they don't call it that. It's the new morality. It's all on the broad road. You do your own thing on the broad road. And you know what? You don't have to feel guilty. Why? Because everybody else is doing their own thing too. So we just go merrily along. the number one characteristic of the broad road. It's broad. Accepts everybody. But then there's the narrow road. The narrow way. See, you get saved. You get it through the narrow gate. It leads to the narrow way. And you know, on this way, there's rights and wrongs. In fact, there are absolute truths on this way. And let me just say this. We don't make up our own truth. Listen to me. We don't make up our own truth. We accept the truth revealed in God's book. This is truth. Sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth. The sum of thy words is truth. Thy word has been settled in heaven. It's truth. And you see, we don't make up our own truths on the narrow road. We accept God's truth, the Bible. There is righteousness there and lawlessness. We accept that. This road is the path of righteousness. It's the highway of holiness. It's the path of purity and holiness and absolute morality. Listen, don't you ever think, and I don't think you would ever think, but don't you ever think that you can come and enter through the narrow gate and become a Christian and then do your own thing. Oh, I'm saved. I prayed a prayer. I went forward in church. I'm a Christian. Now I can do what I want. I got a question. What road are you on? Hear me. If anybody ever comes to, and says that to you, and I've had people say that to me, you ask them, what road are you on? Because that's not the narrow road. That's not the narrow road. The narrow road is a road that we walk in the paths of righteousness, the highway of holiness. Now, I can hear someone might say, oh, yeah, I know. When you become a Christian, you got to keep the straight and narrow, and you got to be straight-laced, sober, and sad. And you know what? I understand why they believe that. Because looking at some Christians, they look like they've been baptized in lemon juice. Their chins are dragging on the ground and, oh, I'm a Christian. No wonder people think it's an awful life. Listen. It can be a hard life. In fact, it is. It's the way of the cross. It's a narrow road. But don't you ever think that it's not great to be a Christian. I'm going to tell you, when you are a Christian, you have the presence of the Lord to be your joy. You have the joy of the Lord to be your strength. You have the strength of the Lord to be your safety. You have the safety of the Lord to be your security. And you have the security of the Lord to be your peace. There's great joy. I used to think, and I'll be honest, you can ask my wife, because she led me to Christ. Before I became a Christian, I thought, oh boy, those poor Christians. You know, I just guess they can't get dates. What do? They go and go to church and they must live a miserable life. I'll tell you what, nothing is further from the truth. I'll tell you, when I became a Christian, I got happy. I did, and I didn't even have to go to happy hour. And I didn't even have to have a hangover. I got the joy of the Lord. Then I'll tell you what, if you got Christ, we got something to be happy about. We got something to be joyful about. Amen? But it's not an easy road. I don't want to be one of these that preaching, you know, you come through the narrow gate and man, you're going to be prosperous and, you know, you're going to be healthy and everything's going to go your way. I'll tell you what, it can get tough. And it can get dark. But I'll tell you, God gives us songs in the night. I'll tell you, the broad road and the narrow road. There's a wide gate and a narrow gate. There is a broad road and there's a narrow road. And then there's two groups of travelers. Another one of these couples. Two groups of travelers. Do you see it there in the text? There are the many on the broad road. The crowd's there. There's much company on the broad road. Listen, in fact, the vast majority of the people in the world, of the 7.9 billion people, the vast majority are on the broad road. I mean, only 2.5 billion, one-third of those, identify as being a part of the Christian religion or the Christianity. So the vast majority of people are on the broad road. It's the popular way. And you know what the people on the broad road, they call out to others on the narrow road and say, come on over. This is fun. The world is fun. Look at the neon lights. Look at the tinsel. We're having fun over here. Come on over. Come be a part of us. There's many. I mean, listen, look at all the people here. Could we all be wrong? Yeah. Just because there's a majority doesn't mean that people going in a certain way are right. Just because a majority of people believe something is right doesn't make it right. But there's many people on the broad road. But look at the narrow road. There are few. Did you see that? There are few on the narrow road. There, comparison-wise, there's not many. It can get lonesome on the narrow road. It can be a lonesome walk. There are others on this road. You know what? Thank God for that. Amen. You know what? I thank God for you guys. I wouldn't want to walk alone. I wouldn't want to walk alone. You know what? I need you. We need each other. It's the church. Don't let I don't need the church. Well, my, oh my, I need the church. We need to be encouraging one another, strengthening one another, building up one another, loving one another, bearing one another's burdens. We need to be ministering to one another because there's not many on this road. That's why thank God for His church. Because you know what? Few find it. Few find the way. That's what Jesus said. There's few that find it, relatively speaking. So you have two gates, you have two roads, you have two sets of travelers, and then lastly, and this is big, you have two destinations. Two destinations. The broad way leads to destruction. Destruction. It leads to eternal destruction, away from the presence of the Lord and the glory of his power. Now, when it says it leads to destruction, listen, we're not talking about annihilationism. Do you know what that is? There are some that teach that if you're not saved and you die, you cease to exist. There are even some who were evangelicals, like John Stott, Clark Pinnock, who have come out and said, we don't believe in hell. When you die, you cease to exist. Or if you talk to a Jehovah's Witness, we don't believe in hell. If you're not a Jehovah's Witness and you die, you just are annihilated. That's not true. Destruction here does not mean annihilation. The broad road leads to eternal hell. Eternal destruction, away from the presence of the Lord and the glory of his power. Interesting, the word here for destruction, it's a word used in Revelation 9:11 as a name for Satan. It's the word Apollyon, the destroyer. And I'll tell you what, Satan is going to be in hell. Jesus, God's Son, the one who embodied agape love, talked more about hell than he did about heaven. Why? Because he doesn't want us to go there. That's why. And you know the sad point is? You know what it is? God never created hell for people. Matthew 26:41. One day he will say to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, into the lake of fire, which was prepared for the devil and his angels. That's who God prepared hell for, not for people. And he doesn't want people to go to hell. He wants people to come to Christ. But the broad road leads to hell, leads to eternal destruction. But then there's a narrow way that leads to life. Did you see it there? Verse 14, for the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life. Life. You see, when you enter into the narrow gate, you get life. Jesus said, you get abundant life. He said, I came that you might have life and might have it more abundantly. That you might live life to the fullest. I'll tell you what, abundant life. Like D.L. Moody said, he said, listen, give your life to Christ. He can do much more with it than you ever could. He gives us abundant life. I'll tell you, for 51 years, I've been living abundant life. I mean that. It's life. But not only abundant life, when you go through that narrow gate, you have eternal life. Eternal life. What's that? Well, Jesus tells us what it is in John 17:3. He says, this is eternal life, that you may know him, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. What's eternal life? It's a personal relationship with the living God. And that doesn't start when we leave this planet. That starts the day that you believe in Christ. He comes into your life and you have a personal relationship. And guess what? That relationship starts the moment you believe, and it keeps on going forever and ever and ever throughout all eternity. It's eternal life. You say, well, what if you lose it? Well, if you lose it, it was never eternal to begin with. Get saved. You see, when you go through the narrow gate, on the narrow way, it leads to life. It leads to abundant life. It leads to eternal life. It leads to heavenly life. Because one day we are going to spend eternity in the presence of the living God in heaven, in the new heavens and new earth. We will be there forever and ever and ever. That's where this narrow gate, narrow way leads. It leads to life. Now, picture paints 1,000 words. Could we have a picture up here? Do you see this picture here? I don't know if you can see this or not. Let's see if I have. Do you see here? This is a city. And you see what? It's on fire. I'll tell you what. Our world is on fire, people. Our world is going on a collision course with hell. And if you look here, look at the neon lights. See the neon lights here? And look at all the crowd. That's the broad road. That's the broad road. Look, they're going along neon lights, and man, they're having fun. But look where it leads. You see where it leads? It leads to destruction, away from the presence of the Lord and the glory of His power. And then you have this way right here. And you see, it's really interesting because here you have a wee little church. Here you have big cathedrals. You have big cathedrals right here on the broad road. But here you have a little church. And here, listen, here's the narrow gate. You see, it's the way of the spikes. And you got to enter in there. You enter in there when you place faith in Jesus Christ. You enter through the narrow gate, and you're on the narrow way. And praise God, if you look real closely at this picture, there are people ministering to one another. We need each other. It's the way of the cross. And look where it leads. Do you see where it leads? To heavenly Jerusalem. It leads to the new heavens and the new earth. It leads to life. Now I'm going to say something. Every one of us seated here in this auditorium, everyone that is watching online, every one of us, you might not know this, you're in this picture. You're in this picture. Where are you? If you are on the broad road, if you have never received Christ, you need to, you know, there's one command in these two verses, one imperative. Jesus said, enter by the narrow gate. That's Jesus' command. That's the imperative. No other imperative verb there. Enter by the narrow gate. If you don't know if you're saved or not, you need to today. You need to come. And I'm going to ask people to come forward. And I always do that because you know what? Do you have to come forward to get saved? You don't. Do you have to pray a little prayer to get saved? No, you don't. But I'll tell you what, it helps when you get up and you come and you say, today, I want to enter in the narrow gate. I want Christ in my life. And then maybe you're on the way. I'll tell you what we need to be doing is we need to be calling to these people. We need to be calling these people. Enter in the narrow way. That's what we need to be doing. You know, as that funeral procession, as I sat in that restaurant down in Louisville, as that funeral procession went by, I thought about this. And I thought, oh God, I hope, I pray that Muhammad Ali listened to his mom. I hope and pray in your mercy, God, that he came to faith in Christ. Jesus says, enter by the narrow way. Lord, we just bow before you today. And Lord, people might say, oh, that's very narrow. Thank you that you made a way that we can get to heaven. Thank you that you made a way that we can be saved and our sins can be forgiven. Thank you for the cross, which is the bridge to eternal life. Lord, I pray right now if there's anyone that needs to be saved. Oh, Lord, today is the day of salvation. Speak to their hearts, Lord. Please, God. I want everyone here. I want everyone that listens to this message to go to heaven. Help them to flee to the cross. And Lord, help us that are on that narrow way. Help us to be busy calling people, come to Christ. Help us, Lord. We all have loved ones in our families that need Jesus. We have neighbors that need Christ. Help us to shine for you and share the gospel with them. Lord, thank you, Jesus, that you are the way, the truth, and the life. We pray in Jesus, it's in your name. Amen.